From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. The Senate is expected to confirm one of President Bush's judicial nominees today, Texas Supreme Court Justice Priscilla Owen. Owen is one of several judicial nominees Democrats strongly objected to and threatened to filibuster. Republicans responded with a threat of their own to ban the filibuster. But last night, moderate Republicans and Democrats forged a deal to end the threatened ban on Senate filibusters to block judicial nominees. 14 senators broke rank with their party leadership on both sides of the aisle. 7 Democrats agreed to allow an up or down vote for appellate court nominee Priscilla Owen, Janice Rogers Brown, and William Pryor. In return, 7 Republicans vowed not to support a rule change that would ban the filibuster. Joining me now to talk about all of this from Florida is NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. We have him on the line with us. Juan, thanks so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. Juan, a lot is being made about this compromise and whether or not you have winners and losers. In your opinion, can there be a winner and loser? Did Democrats come out ahead or Republicans?
Well, you know, it better than listen to me on this, Ed. I think you should listen to the party leaders and what you hear from Senator Bill Frist, the Senate Majority Leader, the head of the Republicans on Capitol Hill, is that he said he was disappointed. There was disappointing news in this because what he had set as his standard was to get an up or down vote on all of the 10 nominees that the Republicans had said were being obstructed or blocked by the threat of judicial filibuster by the Democrats. He comes away with 3 possible votes here, and no guarantees. It could be that they still get debated on the floor, and you know, some of those centrist Republicans who went with the Democrats to craft this deal also buy off of people like Priscilla Owen and Janice Rogers Brown. So you don't know for sure. But anyway, he only gets those 3. 2, in fact, are noticeably absent from this deal, including one who was a White House lawyer who was involved in trying to, get the Democrats to lose this filibuster possibility. So what you see is that that Bill Frist, by saying it's disappointing, I think gives you an indication that Republicans feel they got the short end of the stick, while you hear from people like Harry Reid, who is the Democrats' leader, the minority leader in the Senate, a sense of joy. He couldn't be happier and says that the filibuster ban is now off the table.
Juan, you say that. What I'd like to do is have our director, Angie, get a couple of clips ready from the leadership of the Senate, and we'll hear just in how they say it, what you just said. We'll first hear from Bill Frist and then Harry Reid.
The agreement falls short. It has some good news and it has some disappointing news, and it will require careful monitoring.
This is really good news for every American tonight. This so-called nuclear option is off the table. This is a significant victory for our country, for our democracy, and for every American.
So Juan, just in that language, just what was said there speaks exactly to what you said.
Well, I think, and you know, let's take it to another step, Ed. I think you'll appreciate this. You know, if you think about what the pressures that these senators were under. You understand they're under pressure from groups, especially these groups that advertise on TV, but the special interest groups on either end of the political spectrum. So if you listen to someone like Paul Weyrich, who is, you know, is a longtime conservative activist and organizer, someone who's involved with direct mail, but he is truly at the heart of the far right. Here's what Paul Weyrich had to say yesterday. He said, once again, moderate Republicans have taken victory and thrown it overboard. That doesn't sound like a happy man, Ed.
No, you're absolutely right, Juan.
I think they feel that, you know, this conversation is all about Supreme Court nominees, and they feel now that the center is going to force President Bush to nominate someone that they can't trust, they can't be sure will hold the views of the likes of Scalia and Thomas. And so if they get some sort of a moderate Republican, more of the likes of, you know, Kennedy, let's say, who they're upset with right now over his ruling on the death penalty for teens, saying that that's not constitutional, they are not going to be happy. They wanted a far-right judge that they could trust on the cultural issues, the culture war issues, you know, thinking back to Terry Schiavo, thinking of abortion, mm-hmm. thinking of gay rights, gay marriage, or stem cell research.
And as you suggested, as you suggested, people like C. Boyden Gray, former White House counsel, who really for some time now has been pushing this, will now see this, as you say, as regression on his side.
Yeah, I think there's no question, because they're all looking toward, you know, this is just a warm-up for that Supreme Court fight.
All right. Juan Williams, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. We're now joined by Senator Ken Salazar, a Democrat from Colorado, one of the 14 who was part of this compromise. Senator, thanks for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you, as you toiled about trying to reach a compromise, what was the biggest sticking issue?
It had to do with a sense from these 14 people that we would, in fact, uphold the rules of the Senate. You know, my view as Attorney General for 6 years of Colorado, and now as a U.S. Senator, is it's important for us to be a country of rules, and what the Republican majority was attempting to do here was to break the rules of the Senate. And I think at the end of the day, what we've done is we've upheld those rules as we move forward.
We heard from Juan Williams just a moment ago some of the concerns and complaints by conservatives in terms of this compromise. I'm curious, though, there are going to be those on the other end of the ideological spectrum who suggest that to some degree Democrats gave up too much, particularly in if one is to believe that Judges Owen, Brown and Pryor will, in fact, be okayed, that these were people that only a few days ago Democrats were saying absolutely no to.
Well, yeah, I think that those judges probably will get confirmed. I think the votes were there and will be there. But I think the more important thing here is that this group of 14 senators that included, I'm the newest member of the Senate at number 100 and people like Senator Byrd at number one, that we were sending out a message that the template for doing the work of the country is by working together and transcending the poison partisanship that hangs over the White House, that's perpetrated by the White House and in the House of Representatives. And we in the Senate are going to be different. We're going to try to work together to try to address the issues that people care about every day.
And before we let you go, Senator, and thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. We know it's been a busy day for you. So many people say that this is just a precursor to the fight for the appointment to the Supreme Court. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, you know, certainly there was a recognition that we were looking at what was coming down the road in a Supreme Court nominee, and I think that the president should carefully read that part of the agreement that sends a message to him that he needs to send people who are going to be fair jurists, who are going to uphold the rule of law, and who aren't going to come onto the Supreme Court with an ideological agenda one way or another. We want fair people on the court, and it's important for the president to recognize that he needs to advise, which means to engage in consultation with the Senate, and that we're not going to be a rubber stamp for whatever he wants to do.
All right, Democratic Senator Ken Salazar of Colorado, one of the 14 who built this compromise. We thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining us now, syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune and longtime friend of this program, Clarence Page. Clarence, you've been a Washington watcher for a long time. For some, this came out of left field. Did it surprise you at all?
Actually, it came out of middle field. That would be
so
a better description of it.
Yeah.
It surprised me and a lot of people, but only to a certain extent. I mean, when you look back on it, it makes perfect sense, because this whole battle over the filibuster and the nuclear option and all was a battle between the extremes of both parties, or a battle of the bases. You look at the polling, a good third of the American public, at least, didn't know or didn't care about this whole fight that's dominated the headlines for at least a week and a half. And who did care about it? The fundraising, organizing bases of the Republicans and the Democratic parties. And those are the people you hear squawking and whining and crying this morning. I see one headline on the internet from GOP USA, which is a sort of a prominent conservative website, and it says Senate rhinos betray GOP. A rhino, Ed, is a Republican in name only.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people, both in the Democratic base and the Republican base, who are really yelling and screaming right now because they can't raise any money now for this for a few days.
Let me ask you this with about 2 minutes to go. Two principles that I'm interested in here on the Republican side, Bill Frist and John McCain, who had a lot to do with forging this compromise. When we look down to 08, what does this mean, if anything, to both of these men?
Well, it means, first of all, the people in the party base are going to be even more upset with McCain and others who were part of this compromise, because they're going to say that they were betrayed. Now, McCain had trouble in 2000 when he ran for president from the party's base, you remember, which stopped him in South Carolina. And he's aware of that, and I think he and the others are trying to build the middle ground that they think most Americans live in, that middle ground that says, hey, let's come together and get things done. That's what the Senate and the House are supposed to be for. So I think they've risen above party politics. In fact, that was what Senator Robert Byrd said yesterday. At the same time, you know, the Democrats do have to be accountable for letting those three controversial appointments through. You know, Janet Rogers Brown, William Pryor, Priscilla Owen. These are folks that the left definitely did not want to see get on the appellate court.
Yeah, to a great degree. Only days ago, we were hearing over my dead body.
You got it. You know, both sides were really dug in. They wanted the long fight. They wanted the really dramatic TV scenario, like in the Jimmy Stewart movie, you know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to get that now. They even rolled the cots in yesterday for sleeping all night, and now they got to roll them back out again. So, you know, this is one showdown averted. There will be more, you know, but right now there's a lot of anger at the extremes. Remarkably, we see some real statesmanship, a lot of people are going to say, coming out of the middle here, where you've got Republicans and Democrats coming together in order to get past this controversy and get the more important business done. There's some big issues coming along, as you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. These are the really serious issues that hit people's day-to-day lives. And the judges just don't affect most Americans the same way.
To a great degree, this is just the opening salvo. Syndicated columnist, Chicago Times, Clarence Page joins us. And Clarence, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed.